First, my good people, it's not in the bulletin, but the Relics Chapel is temporarily empty because we are redesigning it and redoing it. And I think you will like it very nice when it's finished. As always, I encourage you to read the bulletin. It may seem kind of wordy sometimes, and the paragraphs may seem to have no end. But take the time out to digest the substance that is contained therein. Read it slowly. It would do you more good to read the bulletin than it would to watch certain programs on TV, even though they may be perfectly innocent. They're nothing but a waste of time, basically. Whereas the bulletin is trying to help us all grow in the spiritual life. But like any good book, or any good sermon, or anything that tends to a spirituality, it will do us no good at all if we don't take it to heart, take it off the page, and apply it to our daily lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Brethren, I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection until the day of Christ Jesus. My good people, too many of us make the mistake of taking those words I just read almost literally and thinking that if we pray enough, say for a certain virtue or to overcome a certain fault, that it will happen. All we have to do is keep praying. Which is an error. And another version of that error is that we do pray and we do work somewhat to overcome our faults and to grow in virtue. But do we put all our effort into it? I have a paragraph I want to read that comes from a book called Manual for Interior Souls. It's a collection of unpublished writing of Reverend Father Grew, who was a Jesuit, back in 1913. Please listen carefully and take it to heart, because it holds the key to so much of our lack of achievement, our lack of growing in the spiritual life. And he writes, and I quote, "The first means of attaining virtue, which seems the most easy and is in reality the most difficult, is to will it. But with a sincere, entire, efficacious, and constant will. And oh, how rare is this good will. We imagine we will a thing, but in truth and reality, we do not will it at all. We may have desires, longings, purposes, wishes, but that is not having a strong and determined will. We wish to be devout, but in our own way, up to a certain point, and provided it does not cost us too much. We wish, and we are contented with wishing. We do not carry our wishes into practice. We are discouraged as soon as it is necessary to put our hand to the work, to overcome obstacles or set them aside, to fight against our faults, to struggle with nature and all its evil propensities. We wish today, perhaps, we begin gravely, but alas, our energies are soon relaxed. We undertake, and then we give up. We do not wish to see that everything depends upon perseverance. End of quote. My good people, you have heard from this pulpit many times against resolutions and good intentions and so forth, or resolutions and whatever the other word is. It's not the good intentions, the good resolutions that are at fault. But as Father Gru points out so clearly, it's our lack of perseverance. When the going gets just a little bit tough, or we come up against our will, our self-will, then we back down in a hurry. Our will, our self-will, as opposed to the goodwill, is so strong and so deeply embedded in us and so deeply rooted in pride that we find it very difficult to go against it. But until we do, we will get nowhere. As you will read in today's bulletin, especially on the second half on page 2, prayer, even the most fervent of prayer for any virtue, will do us no good at all as long as we continue to do the things that are contrary to that virtue. For example, say we pray for the virtue of temperance, whether it's in eating or drinking or whatever. And we pray and we pray. But when we sit down to the table and we've eaten sufficient, do we push ourselves away and say that's enough? Or do we sit there and continue to nibble or take that last piece of cake, no matter how small it may be? Oh, it won't hurt me. Maybe it won't, as far as my figure goes. But the act of giving in to that self-will, that impulse, does a lot of damage that we can never see until we look. It weakens our goodwill. It strengthens our self-will. And we find it more difficult to combat the bigger temptations, the bigger sins. We look at some of these little things, like the little piece of cake, the extra piece that it wouldn't really be too much for us, but on the other hand, we don't really need it. But we look at that as a little thing, or it doesn't really matter. My good people, if we only knew how important the little things are and how much damage or good the littlest thing can do in the ultimate future, the ultimate goal of all of existence. Look back in history. It's the littlest things that started the biggest fires and the biggest wars. When I was a child in elementary school, I once read a novel, a novelette. It was a science fiction. It had to do with the future. Somewhere in the future, mankind had developed a way of going back to the past, which of course we know is not true and not possible. But for the sake of the story, we'll assume that it was possible. Because there's a good point to this story, even though some people may not see it at first glance. And strictly speaking, as a story of all its own, it's pure entertainment. But even in these, we can find sometimes wonderful points for the spiritual life. Mankind in the future had developed a way of going back in the past. And naturally, he figured out a way to make money on it. He set up, whoever he was, hunting trips back in the past, where people paid a certain amount of money and they were taken back to the days of the dinosaurs. And they were allowed to shoot a dinosaur, the biggest game there ever has been, as far as we know. But there was a catch to these. The hunter could only fire the shot at the exact moment that the dinosaur would have died naturally. Otherwise, he was in danger of changing all of history. And there were certain boardwalks set up off the ground so that nobody could set a foot off of it. And each hunter was instructed and warned not to do anything except what you're told to do. You don't know the consequences that it will have. Well, there's one particular hunter, after years of everything going well, this one particular hunter disobeyed the rules. He heard something off the side that he thought was interesting, so he stepped one foot off the walkway onto the ground, and till a guide caught him and pulled him back. But it was too late, because when they got back to the future, or the present, they found everything changed. The political climate, the people, the laws, everything was changed. Because he had stepped off that walkway and stepped on one butterfly and killed one butterfly. And it changed the entire history. Now, my good people, let's forget that that's a fictitious and even impossible story up to a point. But let's apply that to our spiritual life. It's the little things. We don't know. For example, my neighbor sasses me, and I bite my tongue. We don't know the good consequences that has or will have even 100 years from now, and vice versa. If I slap back at that person, we don't know the evil consequences that could have hundreds of years from now. That one action on our part could affect that one person in such a way that he or she may be a key figure in the future events that we know nothing about. And so we have altered history, although it was not yet there to alter, but we altered the beginnings of the history. So let us take this to heart and look at the little things, and curb ourselves in the little things, strengthen our goodwill, and conquer our bad will. May God bless us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.